average of, depending on how old it is, but average of between 2 to 4,000, or I shouldn't say that, between 200 to 400,000 yen annually for maintenance, repairs, that kind of thing. Hopefully it's not going to have any major structural issues. If we aim for 20 years and younger, if we can, or maybe 30 years and younger, then it's probably not going to have major structural issues. So no big renovations when you buy it, or at
Right.
least we'll aim for that. But average maintenance repairs on anything over 30 would be a few thousand bucks a year.
Sure.
Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over 2 decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, here we are again. Thank you for being with us. And right before we get into today's episode, just one quick and final shout out. We are now 3 days away from the autumn session of the Japan Real Estate Summit, Japan's biggest and bestest English language real estate industry event, which is taking place this coming weekend, 4th and 5th October, Saturday and Sunday, at the Tokyo International Forum, which I've just noticed last night, I've been wrongly claiming is right next to Shibuya Station. It is most definitely not right next to Shibuya Station. It's actually right next to Tokyo Station. So if any of you have gone and booked hotels near Shibuya Station because of my stupidity, please forgive me. I am not a Tokyo boy. Hit me up at the summit and I will shout you a few train tickets or drinks. 100% my bad. Not sure what I was thinking there. So yes, Tokyo International Forum, which is right next to Tokyo Station, not Shibuya Station, as well as online, of course, via the streaming room, where you'll also be able to network with everyone else in the streaming chat channel, as well as float questions to our amazing speakers to be answered live on stage. And what a lineup of speakers and sponsors we've got for you this time around. Holy crap. Robert Miller from Innovatius.com, Alicia Kin Wang from Axolotl Capital, John Cross from MailMate, Chai Kanda from Shiki Properties, Jacob Rashidi from Hokkaido Hobby Homes, Rose Tipka from Your Family's Place, Daigo Sato-san from Sato Accounting and Tax Services, Nick Woolsey from Japan Remotely, Shumatsu Post and Brett Lee from Akia Hub, Anton Warman from Japan D Design, and of course, all of us OGs, Blanca Kobayashi from Arc Reform, Tracy Northcott from Tokyo Family Stays, Emil Gorgis from realestate.jp, and of course, yours truly. Super exciting and very informative presentations, I hope, from all of us. And we'll be there all weekend for you to pick our brains to your heart's content as well. But, and I just keep saying this because it's so true, most importantly, you'll get to meet, talk to, and connect with a phenomenal community of Japan real estate property enthusiasts, most of which have been religiously attending and attending again for exactly these same reasons. So tickets are still available until Friday evening. We're already at about the same attendee capacity that we've been on sales closing day on all of our previous events. And we've still got those 3 days to go and a much bigger space that we can happily fill up this time around. So it looks like there'll be a lot more of you this time. Hop over to realestate.jp/summit or to our website nippontradings.com. We've also got the ticketing link at the top of our homepage there. We will not be able to sell tickets on the day or at the door, right? So make sure you get them by then. Super stoked over here. Can't wait to see you all this weekend face to face at the Tokyo International Forum. Have I mentioned it's next to Tokyo Station, or online? Catch you all there very, very soon. All right, so for today's episode, two back-to-back conversations again, both with potential clients, or rather one potential client and one who's already purchased since then. Both of them are looking to purchase a holiday home in Japan for themselves and their family and friends. This first lady is wondering about condo units versus houses. Which should she go for? Fukuoka City over Saitama. You can probably guess what my thoughts on that choice were if you're a regular listener. Capital appreciation, how our services work, how she can prepare for a smooth purchase process, and what does that process actually look like? How to search for listings and figure out important information like landslide warning zones and other potential natural disaster areas and so forth, all within a budget of about 10 million Japanese yen, which is about 150,000 US at the moment. Here is our conversation. Okay, so I have browsed through your email. First thing I gotta ask is, I think you mentioned it to LDK, but then in a subsequent email, something a little bit bigger. So were you looking at two LDK or three LDK? Not large, okay, not larger than four LDK. Did you didn't specify, but were you looking for a house or are you open to a condo unit? Did you want the backyard and the garden and all the maintenance that comes with that? Or what did you have in mind exactly?
I am interested in owning a house rather than a condo or an apartment, simply because I want to own the land also.
Okay, but owning a house with land means it'll be further from city center at the same price of a condo. So the potential capital growth is not going to be different. If anything, it'll be a bit worse.
Right. So I'm not looking at this as a like financial investment. I'm looking at this more of just like an investment in my happiness and lifestyle. So I'm not looking to, you know, sell it in the future. I know it'll depreciate and all of that.
The structure will, but the land, the property as a whole, including the land, whether it's a condo or house, will appreciate if it's in a good location. Sorry, I shouldn't say appreciate, but hopefully will at least hold its value.
Sure, that makes sense. But
the only thing with the house is that it comes with a lot of annual maintenance costs, and they're unexpected. They come and go. So you'll have 5-6 years, everything's cool. Then you need to replace the roof suddenly, 20,000-30,000. So,
right. Same as here in Michigan, I bought a house a few years ago and it's very unpredictable. So I'm okay with that.
They're not built to last nearly as well as they are in the States. They're pretty flimsy. And your budget means, depending on location, but it's probably going to be at least 20 years old, I would say, because your budget was 65,000 US, which at the moment is about 9.2 million yen.
Right.
Is that including purchase costs or just the listing price?
I would like that, like my maximum with everything, I don't want to go over 65,000 USD. So if I'm being totally crazy, you can like tell me that it's not realistic.
Realistic. It's okay. So with purchase costs, that means the listing price itself is about 7.8 million yen, depending on what the dollar will do by then. It's doable, but it just means you'll be buying a little bit older, which means that those expenses will come in quicker.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that's understandable.
Yeah, and that, let's call it a average of, depending on how old it is, but average of between 2,000 to 4,000, or I shouldn't say that, between 200,000 to 400,000 yen annually for maintenance, repairs, that kind of thing. Hopefully it's not going to have any major structural issues. If we aim for 20 years and younger, if we can, or maybe 30 years and younger, then it's probably not going to have major structural issues. So no big renovations when you buy it, right? Or at least we'll aim for that. But average maintenance repairs on anything over 30 would be a few thousand bucks a year.
Sure. Okay. And then I guess I would like your opinion, because I feel like I could go back and forth about the house versus condo situation. As somebody who's going to, you know, purchase their first property in Japan, would you say that there are pros of buying a condo or apartment rather than a...
Yeah, both have pros and cons. So the pros for a condo is that you're annual expenses are very known and stable. So you're paying the building fees every month, whether it's $100 or $150, whatever the case may be, hopefully less. And that's it, right? That's all you need to do. And aside from that, it's the interior, which is up to you. If you want to spruce it up, you do. And if you don't, you don't. With a house, you'll be hit with stuff that you have to do, right? Like eventually something will break and it will deteriorate if you don't take care of it over time. And if it's structural, that could mean a big expense over time. So you want to take care of it as soon as possible. Other pro is that you'll probably be able to, for the same budget, you'll probably be able to buy something closer to the center of the city. The cons are that you don't have the creative freedom that you have with a house, meaning you definitely can't rent it out on short-term stay. Airbnb, Booking.com, anything that's done for a few days or a week at a time without a lease is not going to be possible in a condo unit. You maybe would be able to rent it out by the month. That's something that the owner union can't legally prohibit, but if you don't like it, they will make life difficult for your property manager and for your guests. They'll, come knocking at the door and, are you sure you're not Airbnb-ing this property? And they're not gonna allow the property manager to hang a key box at the bottom of the building if they're that strict about it. So property managers will not take it on even for monthly management, even though it's legal, because they don't want to deal with that hassle. So if we do want something that you'll be able to rent out when you're not using it, we'll have to look for a condo building that is not super strict about monthly rentals.
I see.
And the other thing with monthly rentals is that sometime you'll have a tenant in there for, I mean, you can limit the times, but somebody might be in there for, say, 2 months, and then they say, hey, I want to extend for another 2 months. And then you're kind of in a dilemma, like, should I give up on that income, or but otherwise maybe I can't use it when I want to use. So
Right.
it's more challenging to rent out when you're not using.
I see.
The land plot doesn't play a huge factor into it unless you want the garden and backyard. If you want the garden and the backyard, then it's only a house. It can't be a condo. I mean, some condos come with a nice big balcony and people even put trees on it, but it's still a balcony. But the again, because you'll be with a condo, you'll be able to buy closer to city center. So the potential for the property to hold its value, I would say, is about the same. With a house, you have a larger land plot, which is the only thing that holds value really in Japan, but it doesn't translate into much potential growth if it's going to be very suburban, right?
Okay. Yeah. So for the short-term rentals and all of that, if we could speak about that a little bit. Like I mentioned, I'm not looking to make like a lot of money on the like I'm looking at it for just myself, but of course it would be nice to be able to rent it out if I'm not there, because I only foresee myself being able to like stay at this property for like 1 to 2 months a year, so it's not a lot. So it would be great to be able to rent it out during the time when I'm not there. So that's why a house did seem more attractive to me when I was doing all of my research. It seemed like it would be an easier possibility. But then I
So
suppose I would want.
is it okay if I interject with
Yes,
questions and
yes.
comments? So the thing is that to appeal to short-term guests to the level in which it will, really be covering all of your expenses, because the house again will come with a couple of $1,000 on average of expenses. You do need to be in a property that's attractive enough to guests, right? So which again, your budget kind of not rules out, but kind of challenges that, because
Right.
that budget means a house that's not going to be super central, right?
Exactly. And then I feel like I would run into the issue of I would need somebody to manage the property. And if it's like too far from the main city, maybe there's not a property management company that's in a more further area.
Fukuoka City would not be, I just looked at your list of locations. Fukuoka City would not be an issue. I mean, we'll have to find a house that's within a zoning that allows it, but assuming we do that,
Right.
Fukuoka City would not be an issue. I'm thinking Saitama would not be an issue. We'll have to ask some property managers in the area. Chiba City is a Minpaku, short-term stay friendly zone. So I'm
Right.
assuming there are some short-term stay management companies there, but I'm not sure. We haven't had anyone ask us to rent out short-term
Okay.
in Chiba, so I don't know to tell you. Of those three places, the only one I can definitely guarantee will have a management company to do you for is Fukuoka.
Right. And that's where you're located, right?
Yeah, but we work all over the country. We just like it here. I mean, also
Yeah.
hands down the best city I've personally ever lived in, but I'm biased.
So I was wondering, about your, well, you just kind of answered my question, because I was tossing up between Saitama City and Fukuoka. And I've been to Saitama, but I've not been to Fukuoka. But everything I've heard about it just
I would
sounds really great.
definitely visit before you make up your mind. It's an amazing city. I've been to Saitama. It's lovely, but
Right.
it feels a lot quieter. I don't want to say older, but probably a little bit older. Fukuoka is very young, but Fukuoka has got, first off, it's got beaches, which is for me personally
Right.
as an ex-Israeli is a huge thing, right? I mean, I need a real sandy beach, and we've got miles and miles of that. Nature is like a hop and a skip away. Everything is much more centralized, right? So when I want to go somewhere to meet a friend or shopping or a night out, it's literally never going to be more than a 20-minute bicycle ride.
That's awesome.
Saitama is a bit more spread out and hilly.
Right.
Bicycle paths and parks, it's a very family-friendly city. The ratio of women to men here is a lot more in favor of the women, so it feels a lot nicer and safer kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Only thing I can say against it is that the music scene is not amazing here.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah, I do need to vi visit. My husband and I are coming in December, so we'll be there for 2 weeks, and we're planning on staying in Fukuoka.
Oh, that's great.
So,
So we'll catch up for
yeah.
a coffee or lunch or something.
Definitely. That would be awesome. So, I was wondering if you could just walk me through the process of working with you guys, knowing that I'm not going to be able to come in person until December, like what can I be working on now with you?
Well, we can do remote viewings of properties anywhere in the country for you. If it's Fukuoka, we'll go ourselves. If it's Saitama or Chiba, then we'll send somebody over from Tokyo. So
Okay.
the remote viewing trip is not going to be crazy expensive. Hopefully, I don't know, if it's within the cities, I'd say maybe 100, 150 bucks per trip. And if we got a few listings that we want to look at, that'll, make better use of your time and money.
Right.
And so that we can do at any time. For the purchase itself, again, we don't need you here. I would recommend, if you're still umming and erring between the two cities, then I would recommend visiting before we pull the trigger on anything. So I don't know if there is something that you want to do before December, because if we put agents out of our way and look at listings and do viewings, and then we say, oh, actually, we're going to be buying in another city.
Sure, it's
Doesn't
pointless.
fly really well in Japan. Like, once you go for a viewing, it's not a legal commitment, but it's assumed you're pretty serious.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be rude for sure. So,
Well,
yeah.
just from a very practical perspective, agents that can work with foreigners, even if it's through a proxy like us, agents who can work with foreigners are few and far between. So we want to maintain those relationships.
Of course. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So, if I'm to come in December, and I want to see properties while I'm there. How far in advance should I start looking?
We should probably have a short list by 3, 4 weeks prior to your arrival, because if we go earlier, some of them will be gone, and if we go later, it might take a bit of extra time to schedule. How long are you staying here for in December?
It's about 18 days.
And is it right over the Christmas New Year period or before or after?
It's I know stuff closes around that period, so I don't
Yeah,
want to
it
make
was
it.
kind of off from Christmas Day to the second week of January, kind of.
Oh, I might have to rethink my plan then, because my plan was going to be December 26th through January 13th. But if that
We can try, but I don't like your chances of seeing a lot of properties.
Okay. I should probably rethink that then, which is fine.
It'll be a cheaper flight too if it's not right on those dates.
Yeah, it just makes it easier because for work, my
Of
husband
course.
and I both have a week off anyways, so we're like, oh, let's like make the best of our time off. But
I
everybody's
totally get
probably,
it. But I
yeah.
mean, the money you'll be missing out on for work, I don't know if that equates to the extra cost of the ticket, but definitely it'll be harder to see properties during that period.
Okay.
Maybe, and let me just quickly look at the calendar. January, yeah. So the first week of January, maybe like the 5th to the 11th. If we work on it in advance enough, then I think I can rope in some agents. But we'd better let them know way before they make their holiday plans for that period. So,
Well, we can just come a different time. I don't wanna like have people forgo holiday time
they'll be
because
happy to if they can. I just don't know if they can. So, I don't know. Maybe have a bit of a think. If we can do it earlier in December or later in January, that would
Okay.
be just guarantee that you'll be able to see more properties. That's all.
Okay. I'll rethink that for sure then. That's fine.
Now, if you've attended any of our recent JREP Summit events in Tokyo or online, you've probably heard our sponsor, Robert Miller from Innovatius.com. He's been in Webdisk Solutions here in Japan for the past 25 years, and he's also an active investor in Japanese real estate property, as well as global online property, which is his specialty and what his company Innovatius is all about. They offer a full suite of website services for entrepreneurs and small business owners, including all aspects of web design and management, backup and updates, content formatting and editing, proactive maintenance and error fixing, you name it, with a strong focus on SEO excellence, which is what gets you those hardcore top of the list search engine rankings. But there is a difference. Innovatius works off a simple, all-inclusive monthly subscription model, as opposed to the typical outdated and confusing project model. So you never have to wonder how much any request for any work to be done on your website might cost. It's always $497 per month. And if that's not enough, if you've mentioned you've heard of their services on the Japan Real Estate Podcast, you'll also get 10% off this monthly price for life. Also, and equally important, if not more, you can try out Innovatius for just 1 month, then switch them off, on again later if you want, and so forth. There are no minimum subscription terms. Now, if you're a small business owner, managing and growing a website is super distracting and time-consuming, right? That's exactly where Innovatius comes in. Robert's team takes care of all of that for you so that you can focus on what you do best. So feel free to email Rob on robert@innovatius.com, and his team will conduct a full SEO and website audit on your site, reveal anything that you should address to increase your website's appeal, and provide you with an easy-to-read, detailed report with your own branding so that you can make some informed decisions on your online strategy and watch your business grow as you implement it. So once more, robert@innovatius.com. Drop him a line and get your website reviewed today.
Okay. And then,
Oh, sorry, excuse me. I'm
oh
acclimating
no, it's okay.
that, and the old crew are being bullying again. Sorry.
What was that? Your pet?
A cat. We got a new cat, and three other cats who are extremely rude to him.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I have two cats also, and they
Oh,
are
do you?
always fighting. Yeah,
That's
I'm
awesome.
a
We have
big.
five. Now considering a sixth who's been running around the house a lot.
Oh, that's awesome. Are they rescue cats?
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, mine too. That's
Nothing
great.
pedigree here, including us.
Yeah, me too. I love it. Okay, I have got a list of questions here.
Go for it.
Okay. So Something I've been just seeing a lot of when I've been doing my like self-searching on all of these home websites, I've been coming across a lot of villa areas, and I don't, what is that? Could you explain to me?
So that's kind of what you'd probably think of in the States if you're thinking about a gated community kind of thing. It's on resort ground. It's usually not gated. There's nobody even at the gate because it's pretty safe here. But it's the landscaping, gardening, cleaning of the area gets taken care of. You pay monthly building fees if you've got onsen water coming in, which is sometimes a thing in those resorts, and you pay a little bit extra for that. But you've got you've got an onsen in your house, which is awesome.
Right. That's cool.
They can be tricky with rentals, though. So if the plan is to rent it out, we need to carefully look into that first, because it's same as a, essentially, logistically, it's same as a condo in the sense that there's an owner union and everybody pays their monthly dues. But because it's villas and not actual condo units, then sometimes they're open to rentals, which the condo units are, I mean, sorry. Long-term rentals are always a possibility in condos as well, but short-term and medium-term, which is what you're looking for, monthly you definitely would be able to do there in the vast majority of cases. Short-term stay in some of the resorts, but some would not.
Okay, got it. So it's like a homeowners association
There is
type.
a HO, but
Okay.
they're not the beasts that you're used to from the States. They don't have their hand in your pocket and hit you with fees all the time. They're very mellow.
It.
But rentals could be an issue. We'll need to check with them.
Okay, great. And then another thing that I've been coming across is there are some areas that are like designated, I don't know the word, like the disaster zone, really like landslide zones. Is there a website that I can look at to like cross-reference houses I'm interested in and see if they're in a landslide zone or anything like that?
AkiaMart, do you know AkiaMart?
Yes, I
They have a
do.
filter for disaster zoning, I think.
Okay.
I can give you, if you're only looking at the free version, I can give you a discount code
Oh,
for the
that'd be cool.
subscription. Give me a second. I sent it to you via email now.
Oh, thank you very much.
I think they
Yeah,
introduced that filter. I hope it's working smoothly. They only introduced it 6, 7 months ago, but they probably troubleshooted it by now. And if
yeah.
not, we can just ask the listing agent. The yellow, which is medium risk, is kind of almost unavoidable in Japan. A lot of places are sitting under mountains, but you probably
Right.
want to avoid the red zones.
Right.
You are covered by insurance, but if you happen to be at the property at the time, it's a pain in the bum to evacuate, right?
Yeah, that would not be fun. Right.
No.
Okay. And then as far as earthquake scenario, are there certain things I should be looking for, like a year that the house was built or anything like that?
If it was built post 1981, it's not up to the latest earthquake resistance standards, but it's probably as good as you'll be able to get with that budget. There was another slight amendment around the year 2000 for wooden structures, but the main resistance standards were introduced in 1981. But again, I'd advise to go younger than that, regardless of earthquakes, because maintenance and expenses would be much higher with a 40, 50-year-old property.
Right. Okay. That sounds good. And then, as far as my budget, I know it will be really difficult to be near the center of the city, but if we're just speaking about Fukuoka specifically, do you think there are like specific neighborhoods or areas that I could start like browsing around that you think might be within my price range?
Yeah, I think anything that's within 30 to 45 minutes from the two main stations, which are Tenjin and Hakata. So Hakata is a couple of stations to the east of Tenjin. So if you go southeast, south and east of Hakata, more west and or south and west of Tenjin. It's not north because the ocean is north, right? And it gets expensive near the beach. But to the east of Akata, west of Tenjin, and south, if you get within 30, 45 minutes, I think you'll find some stuff there. And if you're looking at condos, you'll be even closer to center.
Right. Okay.
And Saitama works the other way around. Yeah, it goes north to south, not east to west.
Right.
So if you go east and west of, what's the name of the main station there? It's not called Saitama Station. It's called something else. I forgot. But if you go east and west of the main station in Saitama, then probably shorter, I'd say maybe 20, 30 minutes, because Saitama is kind of narrow. You'll already be very suburban, I think.
Right.
But
Okay.
I don't think the train lines run to the places. If you go north, like away from Tokyo, you'd still be on the train line in Saitama. So maybe 20, 30 minutes north of center would be where it'd get cheaper. If you go towards Tokyo, it'll get more expensive, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. And then for the short-term rentals, I did like a little survey with all of the people at my work, and I just like asked them different questions about if you were to stay in Japan, what size house would you want, how many bedrooms, the distance to station, so on and so forth. And I think everybody's really idealistic when they're thinking about their vacations. So everybody said, oh, I want to be 5 minutes from the station. That seems impossible for my budget, right? I feel like it's going to be like
In the
20
city,
minutes.
not in those cities, no.
Yeah.
I
Okay.
mean, not with a house, but yeah, you want a 2 LDK. I mean, if it was like a bigger studio or studio plus living dining, would that be okay for you? Because then you can get closer to center at this budget.
So the issue I would really like to have 2 bedrooms or like a living room or a 1 bedroom, just because if I bring my parents, I'd want to be able to stay with my parents and like have them sleep
Yeah,
comfortably.
but that's what I meant. If we go for what's called a 1DK or 1 LDK,
Right.
it would still be small enough, but separated into, somebody could sleep in the living room and one somebody in the bedroom.
That would be fine.
And then you
Yes.
could get closer to center. I don't think 5 minutes to the biggest station in the city, but 5 minutes to
Right.
a semi-central station, yeah.
Okay. That's great. Okay. So I'll look at the 1 LDK also then.
Well, 1DK, even some of them are pretty, like some of those dining, I mean, D stands for dining and L stands for
Right.
living. Some of
Yes.
the 1DK, the dining room could be big enough to sleep someone in.
Right.
They call it the
Okay.
dining room, but it's basically another room except the bedroom, right?
Right. Okay. And then say a property did need to have some sort of renovation done to it. Is that something where you would be able to connect me with somebody or like a contractor, or how does that process work?
We can connect you with an English-speaking contractor, but they tend to be upper market, so they're probably
Right.
going to be cheaper to get us to manage the renovation with a more traditional renovator for you.
Oh, okay. So that's something that you can do. That's awesome.
Yeah, we do everything related to real estate, and I've got another company that helps with stuff that's not directly related to real estate. So we try to be your single point of contact in Japan for everything.
That's the best. That's so cool.
The
Okay.
reason for our existence right there.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. And then same sort of question for like obviously I don't have a Japanese bank account, so would I be able to go through you guys to handle
Yep, we manage
bills,
financials for
insurance?
all of our non-resident clients. I'll send you if you remind, I just emailed you with the Akiyama thing. If you reply,
Yeah.
remind me, I'll send you a list of management services that we can provide. But it includes paying all of your utility bills, fixed internet connection if you need it, insurance policy, paying your taxes, and also Japan being as humid as it is, you want somebody to come in, and if you're only going to be there 1 or 2 months a year, like you mentioned, you want somebody coming in to do some light airing, open the door, the window, do some light vacuuming, just to make sure the mold doesn't build up, because that can kill your interior very quickly. So
Definitely.
we can do that as well. And if it's a house, we can also put a gardening and landscaping contractor in place. But all of those things will increase your monthly expenses, yeah?
Right. Of course. Yeah. Okay. That's awesome, though. You guys are a one-stop shop. That's so cool.
We aim to be, yeah.
Okay. That all sounds good. So, yeah, our main goal is to be able to visit for a few months a year for the next 5 years or so. And then after 5 years, I'm hoping that my husband gets to retire early and we can spend more time in Japan
Awesome.
because my job is fully remote and I own my own business too. So I can like work from anywhere I want. So that's the main goal. So with that in mind, we're hoping to have something that we can stay in a little bit for now and kind of grow into it more in the future if
Got it.
possible. Yeah.
Well, I mean, don't feel like you have to be locked in on a property that you'll still want to be living in 10 years' time, because the market, especially in those cities that you've mentioned, maybe Chiba City a little bit less, but definitely Saitama and Fukuoka, the market has been going up. So you can always just, buy something smaller and cheaper now, and when the time comes to move in more permanently, just sell it and buy something else. So hopefully it will retain its value and you'll be saving a little bit more by then. So don't feel like you have to be locked in
Right.
for forever. Also, because you're buying something not particularly new, you probably will want to consider reselling it in about, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 years' time. So
Makes
don't
sense.
feel like you have to pot commit to a property forever.
That's a good point. That's a good way to think about it. Okay. And then something else I've been thinking about is, after I get this first initial property purchased for us, I think, in another year or so, I'd be interested in purchasing another property that's just like a investment property after I have
Okay.
like this one settled. So obviously we don't need to talk about that now. It's coming out of my head, so I'm
Well,
sorry.
I'll only point out if that's a possibility for you, that if you save a bit more to the point where you can buy a small building, those start at about 40 million yen, so about four times what you've got saved up now.
Yeah.
You could potentially use one unit to stay in and rent out the rest.
That's something really cool to think about. That didn't cross my mind. Okay. That's something to think about for sure. Well,
Well, we'll be
I
here
think,
anytime. We're not trying to
yeah.
push you to spend your money now. If the best thing for you is to save money and then buy something that you could use for multi-purposes, that might be a better bet. But I don't know how long it takes you to save, what is it, 300,000 or 270 or whatever it is.
Yeah, that would take me like 3 years. And I'm being I don't know, rash, but I really want to do this first one as soon as possible just because like my husband had cancer and now he's good. But
Oh.
like it kind of puts it into perspective, like life is really short.
I
So,
totally get it.
yeah.
My previous wife passed away from cancer very suddenly and very aggressively, and my entire prospect of looking at life has changed since then, yeah.
It really changes everything when that happens. So, yeah. But I'm sorry to hear that. That's heartbreaking, really. But
Long time
yeah,
ago.
it really changes your perspective on life. So,
Yes, I mean, I make financial plans thinking long term, but not life plans.
right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I kind of want to do it. And my mom also had cancer, and now his mom has cancer. So we're like, trying to do something that the whole family will benefit from. And like we can all go there together, and spend the time and all of that. So
Very
that's the plan.
understandable.
Yeah. But I think that's all of the questions I had. So I
I
know
think
it's a while.
I'll just emphasize again, I know that you're thinking about covering your cost with renting the property out. But if you go for a house, I'm just a bit worried that those costs would be higher than what you'd be getting in rental income, especially since you'd be further from center, so you'll have less guests overall.
Right.
It might make more sense to just get a condo, pay the monthly condo fees, try to find one with, the smallest fees possible and one that maybe
Yeah.
allows monthly rentals, or at least is not going to be too hard on monthly rentals.
Right.
Think financially that might end up being the better course of action. I'm not sure, but I'm
Okay.
thinking.
That does sound like an attractive option to me. So I'm definitely open to looking at that as long
But
as
first thing, you got to decide which city it is in. So maybe we
right.
wait until you get here.
So that sounds good though. But that's a good point. I didn't really consider the condo thing that clearly, but it does make sense financially. That makes a lot more sense because then I can be closer to the center of the city. Possibly we can rent it out if we find somewhere that's flexible.
To
That was
be
like
perfectly honest with you, and you can I ask what is your remote business doing?
Yeah, so I do marketing and consulting.
I thought it was
So
something to do with marketing. So you could set up your own channels that are not Airbnb related, and then nobody knows if it's just friends and family staying there.
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's set up a website and all of that.
It's going to be an
Yeah.
English website, so it's not like the owner union is going to be looking for you. They might look for you on Airbnb if they think you're doing it, but they're not going to be looking for English websites. And
Right.
you can have some arrangement where you keep a lockbox on the building somewhere and just get people to check in and out. And we can outsource cleaners for you between guests. As long as
That's
we're not officially involved in renting it out,
yeah.
we're not concerned.
Okay, that's cool. I didn't think about that either. Yeah, that would make sense. I could stay off of the big websites and market it
Just set
myself.
up your own marketing channels and handle it that way.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's cool to think about too. Well, I really appreciate it so much. So I will definitely stay in touch and I'll let you know when we're going to come to Fukuoka.
Awesome. Looking
I'll
forward.
switch the dates. So either early December or late January. That's
That would
fine.
be better to if you want to do viewings, yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So, really, the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens, and they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which, if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know they're tiny, they're noisy. Fine for a night or two if you're on your own, but longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today, see how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now, back to the podcast. So there you have it. Super nice lady. Looking forward to meeting her in December or January, whenever she might end up coming over. Now, this next gentleman is more specific location-wise. They know that they're moving to the greater Tokyo area specifically, and looking for a home and office combination at around the same budget. So they've got some visa considerations wrapped up in there as well. The budget for the purchase is about 10 million yen as well. And he was wondering about a bunch of the same stuff as our first caller, but also how old, or rather how young, should the property be on purchase? And what does it mean if we diverse from that lineup? How viewings work? How long does everything take? And when exactly should they come to Japan in person during this entire process, if at all? Have a listen, and I'll see you one last time on the other side of this one.
She's starting a environmental consultancy firm of her own, and that's what she does here. I am an insurance broker by trade here in America. All my stuff is online, so I will be continuing to work for at least a few years. I got a pretty substantial book I've built here. But we want to live in Japan. We always wanted to. Love the place. Honeymoon there. Been there, you know, half a dozen times. So we're ready to make the move, especially with the current climate here in America. She's British. I grew up mostly overseas, and we met in Dubai, that kind of thing. And anyway, we're ready to make the move. We've already started working with our friends with the visas, and we're going to be coming over on a business visa with my wife's new firm that she is creating. So we kind of are trying to look for, it doesn't have to necessarily be Tokyo, but, you know, but at least like an hour's train ride or even bullet train ride into Tokyo, because we love the area and we want to be able to have access to it. We're not, you know, we don't have to live inner Tokyo, right? So we were hoping to start, you know, to have somewhere, you know, with a maximum budget of I guess 10 million, right? Which is about, what, 50K-ish, something like that. Yep. Something, you know, not to where it's going to cost us another 50K to restore, but, you know, a detached home, maybe probably three bedrooms at least. We want, or, you know, two to three at least. We are told that it's better to have maybe access to the first floor for her business. Most of our stuff, her stuff is online.
Separate access, yeah. She needs a separate entrance. So, like, if they do it in their home, they usually convert the garage, if they have one, into like anything that has a separate entrance that's not directly connected to the rest of the house is what you need.
And maybe necessarily, yes, or the first floor, right? So we can make it like the first floor part of it, and then the second, only to show it the legitimacy of the business, you know, have the sign, all that jazz.
Yep.
So we're kind of in that place here. We're not going to go. Well, if we have to, we can always do the small, you know, office pop up rental thing you can do for the government, whatever that takes. Most of her stuff's online. Yep. She'll be doing contracts with some Dubai contracts from overseas, and eventually moving into hopefully local Japanese contracts. So we'll, you know, it's all early days. Yep. She has currently got like this last week of work left, and she's already started a few contracts. So our friends over at the visa place, this is no problem. She qualifies. We'll be able to show the income needed. I will continue to be bringing income into Japan, so we're going to be fine there. So that's kind of where we are right now. We will have the starter capital to get a place. That's no problem. We live in a condo here in New York that we are just accepted an offer today. So that will be sold and ready to go. We're kind of waiting for, we have a dog, and we've started the blood test. You need 6 months and of accredited place and stuff to bring your dog over. We've already started that. We've got about 4 months left, I believe. So We don't want to wait that long, of course. We want to have something in place, hopefully have it renovated before we get out there, because the business is going to require a residence as well. So, we've started looking at, like a Kia Mart and stuff like that, but so with your service, what do you guys do exactly? My wife had better notes somewhere, but I'm gonna try to fill in for her.
So there's two ways in which we work. The first is, in any case, we're an added layer of service. So we're not real estate agents. We help you work with the agents in one of two ways. We either do everything on your behalf, so you give us authority to act in Japan on your behalf, and then you just need to talk to us. We'll talk to the agents, we'll talk to the seller, we'll talk to the tax department, the lawyer, everyone involved in the purchase contract. And you'll just need to make bottom line decisions and give us a green light or red light, etc. Or we can put you directly in touch. And for that first service, full purchase facilitation, we charge a percentage of the property price. So then there's no limit on number of hours worked. We can look at up to 20 potential listings with you and dig deeper, like actual inquiries and viewings, up to 10 of those. Within a period of up to a year, fixed price, no limit on the hours worked, and you end up with a title deed in your hand, right? The other way in which we work, which is a lot cheaper, is on a consulting basis. So we put you directly in touch with a foreigner-friendly buyer-side agent that we've worked with and vetted, and then we create a little WhatsApp chat group or line chat group, whatever the agent's more comfortable working in, and then we'll be on the sidelines consulting as you work with them. So we'll guide them on due diligence. We'll review if it's a house, you'll probably do a structural inspection. We'll review the inspection report together, make recommendations, review the contract before you sign it to make sure there's no surprises in there. Just make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, but you'll be working in front of a realtor and in front of the lawyer for everything else, right? That's a lot cheaper. That's a few hundred bucks as opposed to a few thousand bucks. Comes with a 10-hour retainer, which would usually suffice for a single purchase unless you're super picky, in which case it might be two of those retainers, but I've never had to go beyond that. And you'll also end up with the title deed in your hand, but you'll be a lot more involved in the process. You'll be the one, attending Zoom meetings and signing documents and sending and receiving stuff from either electronic or hard copies from overseas, that kind of thing.
Now, I've during my own research, I've read that it's really good to be in country. With your kind of service, do we have to be in country? I mean, I heard that signing we want to, right? I mean, do we, I
No,
mean,
we
we
don't
are
need to.
happy to fly.
We can
We don't
handle
have to?
everything on your No, we can handle everything on your behalf. I'd say more than half of our clients don't. I mean, they might visit to look at an area, or if they're the type that really want to see the house in person before they submit an offer, then they might. But in the vast majority of cases, they definitely use us remotely, and then they just come in to use the place.
And the more in depth is roughly, you said a few thousand. What do you roughly charge?
The what? Sorry, the
Oh,
full
you said
purchase
for the more,
facilitation.
the full purchase.
Depending on your budget, our minimum is 5% of 10 million yen. If you hit 15 million yen, it goes down to 4%, and if you hit 30 million yen, it goes down to 3%.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. Yeah,
Your
that's
budget, you
fair.
mentioned 150, that's about 10 million. No, sorry, you mentioned.
50,000 is about 150 or 10 million, right? Like something like that. What's 10 million? Yeah. So I think 10 million is kind of like our high level ish.
10 million yen, that's more like 70,000, I think.
Yeah, so that's like our high end. We want to stay around
Well, you
50.
need to be, I mean, Japanese houses, if it is a house that you want, we haven't talked condo units, but if it is a house that you want, Japanese houses are not built to last. They're built from very flimsy materials. So we'd normally recommend people look at 20 years and younger, just to minimize the risk of having major structural issues. We'll of course discover that with a structural inspection, but if you end up paying for 10 or 20 structural inspections until you hit the one that doesn't have any, then you know that eats into your budget too. So
sure.
We'd normally aim for 20 years and younger, or as close to it as we can get, to avoid that, and also to avoid the escalating maintenance and repair expenses. Because once a house gets to 30, 35, definitely 40 years of age, the average maintenance expenses would be a few thousand bucks a year. So to give you a few years before you have to worry about that, we'd also try to aim for 20 years and younger, or as close to that as we can, which means if you want to be within an hour from Tokyo, I'd probably go the Shinkansen route to find something as young as that and as far as that from Tokyo.
Okay. And so do you normally want us, so we should be like, you know, going through the sites and finding places first, and then we present you with the options that we would like to look at, kind of thing?
No, or do you guys have... if it's full purchase facilitation, we're more than happy to research for you. And if it's a consulting route, then the agent will be happy to research for you. They're not going to charge any extra for that. But because it's a lifestyle choice, you'll always be the best filter. So it's usually going to be a combination of us guiding you on which websites to look at, you sending us potential listings, us giving you our own 2 cents about them, and kind of, you know, hammering in a short list from there.
Okay.
We can definitely do all the research for you if you want, but with us, it'll be a lot more hit and miss, because you can look at a few photos and a map location and immediately know if it ticks your boxes. We don't live in your head. So with us,
of course,
it'll take a bit longer.
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Now with other realtors, I've noticed most realtors or realtor groups, they only have their select whatever's in their stable, right? They don't really, do they have
that's the listing agents. The buyer agent that I'll put you in touch with if we go the consulting way will be working on your behalf, and they'll be liaising with various listing agents in all kinds of locations, and they're not going to be committed to a particular pool of properties. They work based on your criteria.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Awesome. And I'm assuming all your buying agents speak English as well. I'm assuming
the ones that we've vetted and worked with, yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Now, here's some big news for anyone interested in Akiya, the abandoned vacant homes that are abundant all around Japan for very attractive purchase prices. Akiya Mart, our latest sponsor, is a recently founded online search and discovery tool for Japanese real estate. Its user interface will be very familiar to users of Zillow or Redfin. The platform essentially scouts the internet for property listings, translates them into English, and displays prices in US dollars, all in one place and with a dynamic map interface that makes browsing, finding, and shortlisting your favorite properties a piece of cake. Which any of you have been struggling with the dozens, if not hundreds, of Japanese property websites that are available online and their very clunky interface will probably find a real blessing. They've got already over 500,000 listings on the platform, and the database is expanding daily. Ranging from abandoned rural homes to luxury urban properties, Akiya Mart makes it easy to find your dream home in Japan, regardless of your budget. Now, while the platform is essentially free for use, here's an exclusive offer for listeners of the podcast. You can use the promo code NTI to receive $5 off Akiya Mart Pro. The subscription will unlock a bunch of very attractive features for you, including unrestricted access to the entire nationwide property database and a whole range of filters, which will help power charge your search for that elusive perfect home and make it even easier. So hop over to akiya-mart.com. That's AKIYA-MART, akiya-mart.com, and kick off your search today.
Okay. And you guys, you know, like, so it all kind of depends on where we're looking. Do you choose an agent based on that, or do you just have them that can do anything and anywhere?
We have a few agents that we work with in Hokkaido, Osaka, and Fukuoka specifically. But aside from that, the best agents that we know are based in Tokyo.
Okay.
That's not going to change the capital outlay. If there's a viewing trip involved, then we'll be sending somebody in from the nearest big city. So okay. If you're looking within an hour from Tokyo, it'll definitely be a Tokyo agent that we'll send over anyway.
Okay.
So the viewing trip, the agents get paid on settlement. They get their commission on settlement. But if you need them to go somewhere for a viewing, or if they have to attend in person to sign a contract, then they'll have to charge for the trip.
That makes sense. Yeah. Similar stuff with the VZ guys. I think that totally makes sense though. Okay. All right. Okay. And let's say we do find a place and we're using your full service, and we do find a place and we really like it. And we and how long does the whole process take from beginning to end if if let's say everything goes smoothly?
Well, the more picky you are and the more rural the property is, the longer it'll take. Obviously, if you're picky, it'll take longer, but also if the agent is more of a country bumpkin or the seller is more of an elderly gentleman who's never bought and sold properties in his life, then it'll take them time to round up the documents, and that could take a while. I would normally say from the moment an offer has been made and accepted. If we do need to factor in a structural inspection as well, which I'm assuming we will based on the budget and age, then that probably up to about 3 months.
Very much.
And
Okay.
I should caveat everything I've explained about how we work to
Sure.
say that the full purchase facilitation service we're not going to be able to do before the end of the year. We're a bit too swamped for that. So if you
Okay.
want to pull the trigger before then, it's got to be the consulting route.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
We just we didn't really factor in our growth rate, and now we're struggling with hiring and training.
I can't imagine, especially with everybody trying to move right now.
Oh, hell,
So,
man. Since November, every US client we've had is like, let's speed up the purchase process.
yeah, let's
Speed
yeah, let's get this, let's get over there now, please.
up.
Yeah, thank you. So I no, I totally get it. Yeah, it's we're yeah, we're in the same boat. Okay. All right. Okay. So for the single consultancy, it's just going to be you said a few hundred, so it'll probably be what, based on
66,000 yen is the 10-hour retainer,
okay.
and that usually suffices for a single purchase. So that's about what, $500 at the moment. Now the
Okay.
agents charge 3% plus 60,000 yen plus tax, which at your price level works out to be something like 4 and a bit or 5%.
Okay.
There's always the chance that the listing agent will be a bit greedy, or the company policy will be a bit greedy, in the sense that they want to be the one representing both the buyer and the seller, so they can charge double dip and charge both sides.
Okay.
If that's the case and you really like the property, then you'll be able to pay your buyer agent like they won't call it a real estate commission, they'll call it a facilitation fee or something like that. But in
Okay.
that case, you will be paying double that fee. One to the seller's agent and one to your agent.
Okay. All
But I mean, if you were
right.
to hire us for full purchase facilitation, it'd be the same thing. We're an added layer anyway.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, unfortunately, we can't wait till the end of the year, I don't think, because we're going to be in 4 months, regardless. Well, so either way, we're coming to Japan in 4 months when my dog can come. If we have to rent, we'll rent, right? Until the her visa, hopefully her visa will be close to being done, her business visa. But regardless, we're getting out of this country. So, my wife being British and all that jazz is not that big of a deal. But well, yeah, we're just. We're selling this house. We're definitely coming over. So we might be able to do this in person. We'll see, you know. Maybe
Well,
you
if
know.
you don't speak, read, write fluent Japanese, the listing agent won't be able to handle you in person. So it'll have to be the buyer side agent doing the English version of everything in any
Oh yes,
case. And in
sure,
that case, it doesn't really matter if you're here or not, because they'll be okay with the Zoom and digital signatures and whatnot.
Okay, perfect.
The
Okay.
buyer side agents are more foreigner friendly. They're more tech savvy. That they can handle everything logistically. They're still realtors, so they're not going to have strategic conversations with you. Their job is just to facilitate the purchase, which is where people hire us for consulting usually. But technically, they'll be doing everything very smoothly.
Okay, great. And when you're consulting type by home by home, what's the what is the service that you guys provide for the just the you know the home by home one, the second option that if we end up finding something before you guys can handle full service for us.
Oh, the consulting, we can look at a bunch of properties as part of the consulting. It doesn't have to be focused on a single listing. It's just basic initial to settlement kind of thing. I'm saying 10 hours because that usually suffices for a single purchase, even if we look at a bunch of listings. What that will look like is, again, us creating a WhatsApp or LINE chat group with the foreigner-friendly buyer-side agent. You give them criteria or you give them listings that you've researched, and then we dig into them. I mean, you and I will have a short conversation beforehand just to, fine-tune the shortlist, maybe point out some red flags that you haven't noticed. And then when we have a final shortlist, we'll float it to the buyer side agent on a chat group, and they'll start making inquiries on each and every one list, each and every listing.
Perfect. And do you guys have referrals, or do you like to refer out for like renovations? Do you have a company that you do you partner with, or do you guys facilitate anything like that?
We work with a lot of companies, but we try to choose the best one and cheapest one for the location that you're in. So depending on where you'll end up buying, we either have companies that we've worked with there, or we'll research one for you. I can also refer you to English-speaking renovation companies, but they tend to be more up-markety. So usually it'll end up being cheaper having us manage a traditional Japanese one for you.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
But yeah, we can help with renovations, with repairs. When you're not, it's probably not going to be an issue in your case, but if you still haven't gotten your visa and you need somebody with an address and phone number and bank account to handle utility bills or taxes, we can do all of that too.
Okay, that's nice. That's great. Yeah, no, that's great. Now, so we have the visa guys are going to pretty much help her because she's already qualified, where she's, you know, qualified with the government for what she does. And it's very technical. I think we're going to be okay when it comes to that stuff, getting a bank account, all that jazz. We just got to get like a So, you know, we should be okay there. I'm going to continue to work, and I will have proof of income for, you know, until I decide not to do it here anymore.
The immigration department, I don't know if the visa lawyer told you that, the immigration department doesn't care about your overseas income. They only qualify.
Oh, yes. But we're going to be able to, I mean,
I get it.
Yeah. So I'll have my, she has already a couple contracts that her business will bring in enough, and we have the initial or whatever, but also we have an outside or source of income that we can do other contracts with if we need to. Right.
Got it.
Right. I could do a contract with her if I need to, being an American. I understand that, and having a home, I know, doesn't really help with the visa process either, but it does help. We need it for the business regardless. Great. Okay. So since you guys are going to be far off for the full service, and not until next year, which congratulations, you guys, that's awesome. I hope the scaling goes well. I noticed like hiring.
Bookkeeper, oh my God, bilingual bookkeeper in Japan is like finding this fucking unicorn, man. But yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, I can imagine. God, I'm navigating through all their stuff. And I hear things are changing all the time right now. Right.
So yeah, but Japan, they're changing very, very slowly.
Okay, perfect. Good. Hopefully we get over there before anything is too bad. Awesome. Okay. So next step should be for us. What do you recommend?
Have you looked at any of the listing websites? Are you on Akiamart or any of those?
We're on Akiamart. Last night I did a little research on like Japan Properties and a couple other ones. We just started looking this weekend. We're really going to dig in.
Okay,
we kind of wanted to feel out.
If you haven't, have you signed up for the subscription on Akiamart? I'll give you a discount code if you haven't.
Oh, I already did. Yeah.
You did. Okay. Sorry. Too late.
Yeah. No worries. Perfect. Okay. Then I guess we can just get to work looking if we
would. Yeah. So first step would be, we don't need to go into invoicing and charging yet. Send me a short list of what you've been looking at so far. We'll have another, or if you can make a Google Docs with it, I can just put in comments in there.
Okay. Perfect.
And that'll give you an idea of how to maybe fine tune your search a little bit, the stuff that we look at that maybe you haven't thought about. And then when we have a kind of final shortlist, then we'll kick off a chat group with the agent.
Okay, perfect. Okay, awesome. Okay, yeah. And then that's the plan for this weekend. We're very excited. I mean, unless there's anything else you think I should know, I mean, I'll let
but
you know.
That, the Golden Week holiday is coming up, so don't expect too many responses until the third week of May, I would say.
Third week of May. Perfect.
Well, I mean,
okay.
Most companies will be off between the 29th to the 7th or 8th. And then they'll have a backlog to deal with when they get back, including ourselves. So probably, second, third week of May is when people will be a bit more responsive.
Okay. Awesome. That's amazing. And I believe I saw you on a TikTok with that guy who does all the Akiamart stuff recently.
Shumatsu.
Yeah.
He came to our summit. He had a good time. He was a speaker too.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Maybe I saw you in the office. Yeah. And you look familiar.
Oh, the longer interview. Yeah, he did that I think six, 7 months ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it just came onto my feed. So very cool. So you guys are probably a lot more busy than then because you look busy then. So,
We've been at it for a while, and yeah, it's not going down. It's definitely
yeah.
trending upwards.
Well, that's awesome, though, man. That's awesome. I wish you all the best. I will get to work on a short list. We'll make a Google Doc, and then I guess we'll just keep in touch. You enjoy your time off. Are you actually going to take some time off? You going anywhere, or for the Golden
Yeah, I'll
Week,
head
or you could
off to
just
Korea, I think, for 4 or 5
cool.
days. Yeah, nice and easy train ride away.
Yep. Exactly. Awesome. All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for your time. I will give
Pleasure.
this all to Amy. If she comes up with anything, I'll let you guys know if she can think of anything. But we'll get to work on some listings and see what we can do.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
We'll take it from there.
All right,
Thanks for your
man.
time.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. So there you have it. Another good, informative conversation, I thought. Hope it was as good for you as it was for us. And again, this is your absolute final notice or hassling from me, at least here on the podcast. Hop over to realestate.jp/summit if you are coming and secure your live or streaming tickets to the Japan Real Estate Autumn Session, Summit's Autumn Session, which is taking place this weekend, 4th, 5th October, at the Tokyo International Forum, that's near Tokyo Station, and online. See you all there. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa, and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company, and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com, and he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks, and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time, and until then, have a great day or night ahead. Joshiku.